RTE2FM. If there are any little ears listening, just so you know, you might want to turn down the radio for a little bit, but you can catch the segment later on in the podcast because it is time for this.
It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
So, according to yesterday's papers, Irish people are in the top 10 globally in being happy with how their bodies look. But it's got us talking in the office. What about your partner's body? How do you answer the big question, does my bum look big in this? Would very carefully, I would guess, but let's ask an expert because it is time to talk to our resident sex and relationship expert, Rachel Cook. Rachel, how are you?
Hiya, Alfred. Good to talk to you. How's it going?
Good to talk to you. It's been a while, my friend. I'm delighted to be back with you. I want to ask you about this because this is like a minefield, I would say, right? So we have the questions as usual. I'm going to put them to you. It's all about honesty today. Yeah. So the first question is, do you think you should tell your partner if they've put on weight?
So I would say overall, I believe no. You know, there's really mixed views on this, but I would say generally that person knows that they have put on weight. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, usually I find that when people are asking this question, should they tell someone, really what's going on is that they feel uncomfortable about the fact that their partner has put on weight. Now, sometimes it's weight changes in general. Mm. It can be, you know, losing weight as well, you know, depending on that person's, you know, gender or all sorts of factors relating to that. But mostly this relates to, you know, in our society, you know, kind of the obsession with diet culture, with thinness, the beauty standards that we have in the West, very European kind of white beauty standards as well, for being thin, for being flawless, for looking youthful. You know, a lot of this relates to kind of capitalism as well. You know, this like everything is about how you can sell more products and try and make yourself look kind of, ageless and kind of flawless. And so that generally includes being very slender, particularly as a woman, or very, well, I would say still fatless as a man, but generally more kind of muscular.
Sure.
Right. So I would say talking to your partner about this, you know, usually what it comes down to is people finding themselves maybe less attracted to their partner because they've put on weight. And then, you know, what people will often say to me is, well, I think I need to say it to my partner because I'm concerned about them. I'm concerned about their health. Mm. And this is something that I think is really important to look at because so often, you know, what really is our discomfort with finding our sexual attraction to that person being different, you know, we're kind of veiling it under the idea of concern when there are so many reasons why someone might have put on weight. Now, of course, that could be due to illness, medication, stress, you know, general aging. They could be depressed, but people also put on weight because they're happy, because they're having a period of, you know, self-care and being less strict on themselves, putting less pressure on themselves to conform to kind of beauty norms and all sorts. So, you know, I would say it's definitely possible that you can, you know, either I would say wait until your partner brings up something in relation to their body or their weight, and then you might kind of get curious with them, talk to them about that. Or if you're feeling really, really deep concern, you know, it probably needs to be connected to some other issue in their life. Like, is it that they seem like they're depressed? Is it that they've stopped doing things that they enjoy?
Yeah.
Because that is a good time in which to say, hey, I've noticed some changes in you and I wanted to talk to them about them with you. I think that's a much better approach than saying, hey, just so you know, you're looking a bit flabby or you've put on quite a lot of weight or you know, something like that, which is most likely going to make them feel humiliated, embarrassed, ashamed. And, you know, even if they do end up changing their eating or exercise habits, it's going to be out of shame rather than, you know, actually looking after themselves and checking in with themselves.
Away from weight for just a sec. If there are other things, like if your partner, say, is going grey, like a lot of women, say, during the pandemic decided, I'm not doing the hair dye thing anymore.
Yeah.
The salons are closed. I can't box dye this thing myself. I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to go grey. Similarly, like maybe more commonly for men, losing your hair. Can you say to somebody that you think it's time that they shaved their head, for example, if their hair's gotten too thin, or like, I don't think the grey suits you, or whatever. What about that?
I mean, most of the time, again, I think you need to really look at like where this is coming from. Like, of course, attraction to a person is, you know, sexual attraction is important for most people in terms of their choice of partner. But I think we also really need to recognize that, like, you don't get to get into a relationship with someone or marry someone and be guaranteed that they will look the same for however long you're going to be with them. You know, people age, people change, people go through difficult periods, whether that's, you know, loss, illness, you know, massive amount of stress, all sorts of things that mean that our bodies are going to change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can have very strong ideas about what you find attractive, sure. And you could say to some degree, you know, most of us are probably not going to drastically change our kind of preferences for what we find attractive in our lifetime. But I think there has to be a level of acceptance that, you know, the person who had a certain kind of body at 25 is not going to look the same, you know, 5, 10, 30 years later.
On that, Rachel, right, about attraction.
Yeah.
What if it is just, if it is a case that you have become less attracted to your partner, either because of their weight or either because of something else physical, whether it's gaining weight, losing weight, whatever it is, what should you do? Like, how do you approach that, or should you at all?
Yeah, I think starting by approaching it in yourself, you know, kind of going like, okay, so I can have my personal preferences. You know, for some people, let's say they're really not into balding. Some people might much prefer people who look quite, you know, fit and muscular in a particular way. Although, as we now, you know, are able to recognize much more, people can be incredibly fit and aren't necessarily thin or have very low body fat. They can still be healthy and fit and not be slender. But, you know, I think looking at, you know, just reminding yourself that people change over time, that, you know, love doesn't have to be about saying that you have to be attracted to someone no matter what. But you might, you know, take some time to look at, you know, what things do I appreciate about this person? You know, I often find I hear men regularly talking about how they're not attracted to their partner, you know, either when she's pregnant or after she gives birth, you know, because she might have put on weight or her body's changed. And, you know, we've now come to accept that that's really unreasonable because, you know, you've just carried a bloody child.
Yeah.
You've just grown a child inside your body. And, you know, that will have caused hormonal changes. You know, most people gain a lot of weight, you know, for very good reasons, important reasons while you're pregnant and after giving birth. And, you know, I think, you know, you have to kind of look at, like, what are you valuing your partner on? Back to recognizing that, of course, sexual attraction can be important, but you might want to spend some time looking at your sort of beauty standards, you know, the kind of ideals of beauty that you have internalized over time. You know, the beauty industry, the film industry, the porn industries, these all work together to socially condition us with these different ideals and norms. But those can actually change. You know, you can look at, you know, over the decades, how we've valued at certain times, we've been into kind of heroin chic, very, very thin, kind of tired and sick looking. We've looked at people being much more into kind of hourglass shapes. Then you can look at, you know, the rise of being into sort of fillers and quite like unrealistic looking, the Kardashian style of having, you know, a tiny waist and massive boobs and bum.
Yeah.
You know, then there's all the kind of Love Island stuff. These are fads. They're trends in what we find attractive. And so that can be a really good one, is to just sort of say, look, I'm not going to be able to change this overnight, but it's probably going to be useful for me to look at, you know, where my sort of standards and expectations for beauty and what I find attractive came from, and whether I can sort of do a bit of work to dismantle those, dislodge those and shift those around.
Do you think it's more acceptable still for a woman to tell her male partner that he might have put on weight, or than it is the other way around, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I think it's, you know, now I guess it is seen as less acceptable for men to say to women that they need to lose weight, partly because we're recognizing, you know, the huge history of stigma there.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially around, again, sort of like childbirth, child rearing, menopause, you know, hormonal changes that are just going to affect people with, you know, wombs, uteruses, vaginas much more than they are people with penises. But that, you know, that, although there is a social cultural aspect to this, I think there is something that's potentially very toxic about saying that it is, you know, more okay for a woman to tell a man that he's put on weight, because it's still happening for the same reasons, you know.
Yeah.
I would say mostly we are doing that But since we know the person is not going to be like, oh, I'd no idea I put on weight. You know, it's like the reason that you're saying it is because you're engaging in possessive and controlling behavior, you know, and it can also be around ignorance under that kind of idea of concern where people will say, well, you know, it's very kind of unhealthy for someone to be obese. So I need to tell them that they've put on weight so that they can get back to their kind of previous health. And so some of that can be about ignorance. You know, it's only been in the past 5 to 10 years that we're learning more about, you know, different movements around kind of body positivity, fat activism and fat acceptance, you know, this kind of social movement of something called health at every size, which says that, you know, people, Lizzo is a very good example of someone in the media who can be larger and, you know, can be big bodied, can be a fat person and can be incredibly athletically fit.
She's very active. Also,
And done all the tests. You know, you can be regularly going to your doctor and getting tests and they can, you know, be sure that you're in good shape, that you're doing fine, compared to someone who's potentially very slender or even muscular, but could be incredibly unhealthy. So that's something to be kind of, you know, researching, reading up about, thinking about as well.
When you said earlier, Rachel, about like when you were kind of listing the different, you know, phases, I guess, you know, like heroin chic and Hourglass and Kardashians and Love Island, and you realize what an assault it is on everybody, particularly women. How are we negatively impacted by diet culture in Ireland?
Oh, I mean, it's huge. And I would say, you know, Ireland is probably not that specific. And as you said, you know, there's some research to show that in Ireland, in some ways, we seem to be
gorgeous.
We think we're fucking gorgeous.
Good for us.
I think it is culturally, it does seem to be moving in the right direction where people are a little bit less, you know, kind of obsessed with adhering to certain norms. Now, obviously, you're going to find pockets of culture, particular people who, for whatever reason, are more obsessed with bodies looking certain ways. But, you know, diet culture in general, you know, it places this massive emphasis on achieving and maintaining a specific body shape, often characterized by thinness, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of stigma that comes with that. It promotes kind of really negative judgments and shame and biases against people based on their body size or weight. It promotes restrictive eating, you know, massive amounts of different kinds of, you know, food elimination and diets that are kind of, you know, seen as solutions to health and happiness. And, you know, we know from the years of, you know, kind of looking at, you know, I would say these days when we're looking at sort of boomers and Gen X and the impact on those generations of diet culture, which still exists, absolutely. But I'm seeing, you know, Gen Z having a bit more generally of a balanced approach, even though they're being absolutely assaulted by social media, having grown up with it, you know, having a bit more of a balanced kind of way of approaching their bodies and exercise and self-care and that sort of thing. But diet culture is, you know, scary stuff, the way that it impacts mental health, the way that it actually impacts your physical health as well, right? It's generally hasn't been shown in most of the research to be healthy, to be, you know, doing things like, you know, yo-yoing in terms of, you know, could be intermittent fasting or eliminating certain food groups, which is not to say that we should never be doing those things, because it really works for some people's bodies and some people's sort of, you know, maybe a certain period that they want to be like training for a marathon or something personal goal, right? But it's become a thing that we're mostly obsessed with and is leading to a lot of physical and emotional, you know, kind of illness.
One of the interesting things that you hear a lot at the moment is about, it's a concern for health. I'm saying it out of concern for health. And there's a name for it on the internet. They call it concern trolling, which is a way, you know, to get into, to kind of attack someone for their weight under the facade of, well, I'm only kind of saying this because I'm concerned for your health.
Yes.
What's the difference between, or when is it a valid health concern and when is it body shaming or fat phobic to focus or mention somebody's weight?
Yeah, so this is a tricky one. And I think, again, it involves usually, you know, taking a bit of time to reflect before you make that comment to someone else. You know, also in terms of yourself, right? If you find yourself going, oh, gross, you know, I've gained some, you know, fat on my tummy, or I hate how my arms look at the moment because they seem, you know, bigger or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like going, okay, where is that coming from? You know, is that, you know, usually the answer is going to be society, right? Which is not to say that it's only that, or that it's therefore inherently wrong or bad to have those thoughts, but that, you know, it's important to investigate where, you know, that sort of judgment of yourself or another person is coming from, and to then, you know, kind of go like, is this connected to other things? Let's say if we're, again, talking about, let's say, a partner, or it could be a friend or a family member, you know, is your concern, you know, connected to other behaviors in that person's life? Let's say your partner has stopped, you know, doing, you know, going to the gym, and, you know, you're finding that they're eating a load of junk food in the way that they weren't before.
Yeah.
Now, that could be because, you know, also, next, you might want to think about what is going on in that person's life, whether that's you or someone else, that could have contributed to those changes, which, again, could be really, you know, sort of like unfortunate, negative, sad, difficult things, painful things that have happened to that person.
Of course.
It could also be, you know, things that mean that they feel more relaxed and happy. You know, people often put on weight when they're in, you know, in relationships where they're feeling quite comfortable and loved, which is not to say that therefore that makes it inherently all good. It's just that, you know, there are different reasons for that. So kind of looking at the context, and then you can kind of, you know, work out for yourself, you know, what is the usefulness here of me making this comment to this person? Because generally, if you, because of how, you know, weight specifically and weight stigma in our society exist, telling someone that they've put on weight is very, very unlikely to make them go, thanks so much, honey, for letting me know.
That's a fact.
That's really helpful and supportive. You know, they're more likely to feel self-loathing, you know, shame. They're going to be embarrassed. They're likely to kind of try and hide parts of themselves, or how they're kind of coping from you. It might make them, you know, if they're, for instance, have put on weight because they're happy, that it's very likely to make them feel shame and take them out of that headspace. So I think it's better to focus on, you know, the other behaviors. If you're seeing that someone is showing signs of being depressed, that you bring that up with them, not their weight.
So that's
where I think kind of saying, you know, where is the line? That, you know, the line is really looking at the context and looking at where it's coming from within yourself.
Rachel, you're a legend as always. Rachel Cook is a psychotherapist, mental health consultant. You're on Instagram, Rachel Jane Cook. You're going to be back next Wednesday to talk about loneliness. Rachel, really appreciate it as always.
I'll talk to you, Everett.
Thanks a million.